Good morning. Wow, we have people in the sanctuary. I'm so happy to see you and worship God with you. And I love this part. I love to shout you at the right time, in the right place with
the right people.
Amen, amen, amen. Some of you might be curious, why is he wearing a mask? I have a patient in my house, so I took a test last night, so I'm negative, but just in case, so I'm wearing a mask, but yeah, just in case, I just want to let you know. But I'm a hugging machine, but this week, I will save my hug for next week, okay? We have a few announcements. Please find some information in your bulletin, and I just want to highlight some of them. Yes, during the week, something happened. And you see, we had our sanctuary carpet replaced. It was a huge project. And the trustee has been working so hard for this project. And finally, I was really surprised. They made it happen in a week. And we have a new carpet. And we have a few trustee members inside the church now. Why don't we give them big hands? Thank you. Thank you, thank you. And especially Amy has been in the church every day supervising and checking the workers working on it. So thank you so much. And loose coin for this month will go to help one of our denominational missionaries, Dr. Kim, so please remember that. And we have a few events coming. On the last Saturday, it happens again, howling. Logan, can you check the voice? My microphone. So, on the last Saturday of this month, we will do a leadership training. Everyone in the team or committee is welcome. Please join us for the leadership training. It's going to be really good. We will talk about what we will do for our church, and I'm going to talk about what's happening in our denomination as well. And we have a speaker for the training. I love him. I think you will love him too. So please mark it on your calendar on the last Saturday of this month. And 21st of January, there is a district leadership training. If you want to go, please let me know. I will go with you. It's going to happen at the first UMC in Dixon. And men's group, we will have No Regret Conference in our church. We don't have to drive for 2 hours. We are one of the site hosts, so we will have the conference in the sanctuary first Saturday of February. So every man, you are welcome. It's going to be a really good time for us. And from tomorrow, I'm going to have a vacation. So you are not going to see me in my office, but I will be in town. So I will respond to your pastoral emergency cases, so you can call me, but yeah, I will be on my vacation. And today, Carolyn is our liturgist. Let's gather our mind and worship God together.
Please stand as you are able. Listen, you people of God. God has called each of us to be a light to the nations. The Lord has put a new song in our lives, a song of praise to our God. We will sing of God's salvation. We will shout of God's faithfulness. Listen, you people of God. God has called each of us to be a light to the nations. In our first hymn, This is the Day of New Beginnings, verses 1, 4, and 5.
This is a day of new beginnings, time to remember and move on. Time to believe what love is bringing, laying to rest the pain that's gone. Christ is alive and goes before us to show and share what love can do. This is a day of new beginnings. How God is making all things new. In faith we gather round the table to taste and share what love can do. This is a day of new beginnings. How God is making all things new. Please be seated. Yes, I think this one is a little bit better. It is time for us to share our joys and concerns. During the week, we have a few people who have birthday. Toby, Raid, Ryan, Bowen, Randy, and Jane. You can send a card. Oh, Amy, yes. Sorry, I missed it. Happy birthday. Yeah, we can. Thank you very much. Happy birthday. You can send a birthday card, or make a phone call, or give him extra hug. Yes. If you want to share your joys or prayer request, please write it down and give it to me or our head usher, Jeff, or you can talk to me before the service. And I want to invite you to share, have some people in your prayers. So please have Warren in your prayers. He has done many tests lately. Doctors, they didn't find any cause, but he's having some breathing issues. So please remember him in your prayers. And it is my joy to share James Pichenko. He had a surgery last Wednesday, and James and Wendy, they were really excited and they were really happy because the surgery went really well. Doctors didn't know whether it was a tumor or some disc, but it was a disc, curable one, and surgery went really well, and they really appreciate your prayers. Thank you so much. And please continue to have Ken Newlin, Dave, and Normal Parson in your prayers. Let's turn to God and pray. Gracious God, this morning we have gathered to worship you, Lord. God, we give you thanks. You welcome us as we are. And speak to us. We can come to you as we are. We know when you are joyful, you are dancing with us. And we know you hear our cry when we are vulnerable, frustrated, and disappointed. God, as we worship you, Lord, renew our spirit and restore our mind and strengthen us, so that we may know who we are and whose we are. God, we pray for our Wesley families, our friends and neighbors, especially the people who are challenged in their body and soul. Remember each one of those people, Lord, we named and unnamed. Remember Warren, Dave, Ken, Gloria, Normal, and many of us, Lord. Touch their body, strengthen their immune system, and Lord, give them hope and comfort as well. Let them feel you. Let them feel that they are not alone, but surrounded by our prayers and support. Use us, Lord. In our daily life, Lord, we need you. We need your guidance. We need your inspiration. We need your direction. We need your strength. God, fill us with your love. Touch our spirit. And give us a new energy as we seek to live our days by your will and love. And there are so many people who need you around the world. Especially we pray for the people who live in a conflict areas and war zone. We are not there physically, but Lord, we pray for each one of us, one of them. Give them light and peace. Lord, thank you for your presence. Be with us and help us be with you. With all our hearts and mind, we pray together as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. As we bless our children, let's sing together, Jesus Loves You, This I Know. Jesus loves you, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little one to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. The Bible tells me so.
Well, good morning, everybody. Y'all a little tired today?
No.
No? All right. It's like, absolutely not. So I was thinking, let me get my microphone situated here. This always makes me feel like I'm in a boy band. So I was thinking this week about the image of God and what that means. Because in the very first book of the Bible, which is called Genesis, God talks about how people are made in God's image. And I was thinking to myself, self, how do you explain that in a way that as many people as possible will understand? And so I was thinking about it, and I was kind of moving around the church this morning thinking, you know, how this is something that's on my heart. How can I make this make sense? So I tried in vain to remove several mirrors from the bathroom walls and realized maybe that's not the best way to go about this. But I did find, and thank you so much, Judy, let me borrow this, which is a little mirror. And so when I think about what the image of God looks like, and that we are all created in the image of God, do you know what I see when I think about who God is? I see you, and you guys.
Mommy.
Yeah, and myself, and you guys. and you, and you, and you, and all of you. So we are reminded that when we look in the mirror, any time that you look in the mirror, you can be reminded that you are created in God's image. And can anybody tell me one of the first things that we do when we go back for Matthew meetings? What do we say when we get the special pen? Sadie? Your name, and then you are a child of God. So every Sunday, we get to be reminded that we are children of God, and every time you guys look in the mirror, I'm talking to all y'all, you can be reminded that you are created in God's image. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we give thanks for the ways that we are able to exist in your world, that we are able to pray and laugh and love and find fellowship and go through good times and bad times and all of the things, because all of those things make us who we are. And who we are, God, is created by you. In your holy and great name we pray. Amen.
In our lives, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In our lives, Lord, be glorified today. In your church, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In your church, Lord, be glorified today.
The scripture reading this morning is from Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 56. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowly state of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Indeed, his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has come to the aid of his child Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Today's reading may seem a little bit familiar. It's a continuation of the reading from, the week before Christmas, which was Mary's visit to Elizabeth following the Annunciation of Jesus' birth to Mary. I realize this is after Christmas, but I'd like to look at this passage from a little bit different perspective, take just one element out of the narrative and apply it to the whole year. Pastor Paul gave us a good description of Mary in previous messages, with important references to life in first century Israel. Mary was young, probably 13 or 14. Her marriage was arranged, meaning that at best, she might have known the person she was to marry. While this was a cultural norm at the time, it had to be a frightening concept for a 13-year-old girl. On top of this, Mary gets a visit from the angel Gabriel. Gabriel tells her not to worry. She will become pregnant by the Spirit of God and give birth to the Son of God. Her son will be the Son of the Most High and will reign over all. No pressure on Mary at all. I think we forget that most of the people we read about in the Bible are just normal people. Same troubles that we have. It's a different era, but their problems mirror ours in our times. So what's Mary thinking? Probably something like, I'm 13 years old. My parents have chosen someone for me to marry that I don't know. An angel has appeared to me and talked to me and told me that I will be pregnant with the Son of God. What's more, this angel said my relative Elizabeth is pregnant. She is so old. How can any of this be true? What's going to happen when everyone, particularly Joseph, finds out? The law and Torah doesn't look with favor on this. Mary has a response to Gabriel. We're going to look at that in a couple minutes. Mary goes on a journey with Elizabeth to visit Elizabeth. The Bible doesn't give us a reason or a directive for her to go. We have to imagine that Mary is more than a little bit overwhelmed by the recent events. It's not a topic she can just drop on her friends or her parents. Elizabeth seems to be the logical choice. We never find out how close a relative Mary and Elizabeth are. We do know that Mary was made aware of Elizabeth's pregnancy in Elizabeth's 6 months. It seems logical that Mary would seek Elizabeth out. They both are in similar, unbelievable situations. Who else could Mary talk to? We're at the part of the story where the reading from several weeks ago comes in. When Elizabeth sees Mary, the child in her womb leaps for joy. Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit and proclaims with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." Mary came to Elizabeth to confide, to talk, to try to make sense of all that happened as well as what was foretold. Imagine the surprise and unbelievable joy for Mary to have Elizabeth affirm the glory of what was to come. Until Gabriel's appearance to Mary and Mary's appearance at Elizabeth, neither was aware of each other's pregnancy. After Elizabeth's declaration, Mary responds on her own with a well-known passage, which is our reading for today. This set of verses is called by many different names in many different religions. Whatever you want to call it, I find this one of the most powerful and affirming passages in the Bible. My first response to this reading is one of inclusivity. God has chosen his son to walk among us. He has chosen Mary to bear this child who will reign through love. We are included in this plan. We have a God that desires to interact with us. He wants to be part of our lives and us to be active participants in his kingdom on earth. Mary states that our Savior will bring down the powerful and lift the lowly. He'll fill the hungry and lift Israel. In an occupied territory like Jerusalem, what could be more inclusive? My second response to this passage is a question. What happened to Mary? How did we go from the scared teenager, desperate for someone to talk to, desperate to try to comprehend all that was transpiring, desperate to fathom what was about to happen? How did she change into this person of faith and resolve that speaks these powerful words? I mentioned earlier Mary's response to the angel Gabriel. This is her response from Luke 1, verse 38. Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. It's a simple response that sums up a great act of faith. Mary's world has been turned upside down. Seemingly impossible things have happened or about to happen to her and the rest of the world. She's been visited by an angel. Her elderly relative is pregnant. She'll become pregnant by the Holy Spirit and give birth to the Messiah. Instead of arguing, refusing, or running away, she responds, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord." Where did that strength come from? In a very few verses, we've gone from a teenager trying to make sense of life-changing events to a person not only confident, but one who speaks with authority regarding the gratefulness she feels to God and the magnitude of what is about to happen. The only answer to this transformation is Mary's simple response to Gabriel, "Here I am." The amount of faith it requires to say this after the revelations she has been given is unfathomable. Where did this faith come from? Did she already have it? Was it transferred to her at Gabriel's visit? We don't get an answer to that, and I don't think we need one. Later on in this service, when we make our offering, we acknowledge that everything we have, our assets, our gifts, our talents, everything comes from God. We are returning back to God what is His. I believe that Mary's faith and ours is a gift from God. It's not an instant gift all the time, but a slow learning process that God exposes us to. If we pay attention and listen, our faith will grow if we let it. So what good is all the faith? Why should we pursue this, particularly when times are tough? Mary's gift of faith was not the only gift that God gave to Mary. If Mary had given birth to Jesus and just walked away, would the outcome have been the same? God equipped Mary with all the spiritual gifts and insights necessary to complete the work God had chosen for her. He gave her the skills and compassion and love necessary to raise Jesus and form the human bond between God and us. He gave her strength to endure the coming trials of the last chapters of his life. There's always been an ongoing discussion among theologians about the interplay between faith and works. For this discussion, let's just leave it. They're intermingled and depend on one another. I think faith inspires the work that God intends for us. As we grow in our Christian faith, we realize that our beliefs give us a purpose past basic survival, past the attainment of our wants and desires. Jesus tells us the greatest commandment is to love our God and love one another. Viewed in this light, we can't help but see the needs of others. Unfortunately, we see so much need, we see so much devastation and despair, and we're overwhelmed. How can I possibly help someone and aid or support someone when it all seems so overwhelming? I can't fix this. The simple truth is on our own, we can't. So many times, we feel that we lack the skills, the knowledge, or the courage to proceed. In Corinthians, Paul describes various spiritual gifts bestowed by God onto us. No one possesses all the gifts. We are meant to move forward in community, just as the various parts of the body do, working in harmony, everyone contributing as to their gifts. I believe that God has a plan for each of us. He equips us with the gifts we need to accomplish this. We may need to look to find them. We may need to stretch a little bit to refine them, but they are there. We have to look. Sometimes we recognize our own gifts. Sometimes someone else points them out to us. Sometimes we discover these things by just seeing a need and proceeding on faith. Regardless of how we find these gifts, it's important to remember that an unopened gift provides nothing to anybody. We need to acknowledge the source of these gifts. We need to realize that these talents are not of our making, but abilities and tools given to us by God to further his work here. Now we come to the hard choice. The gift is recognized and acknowledged, but it still needs to be used. Unused, it's just a thing sitting in a box. God has given us free will. It's our decision what we do with this gift. We can ignore it. We can cover our eyes and ears and not see where the need to use it is. Or we can listen to God, fulfill his desire and plans for our life and use it. The choice is ours. I truly believe that we are compelled to do this in a bold fashion. I cannot believe that God gives us a finite set of gifts. Instead, we get what we need as we proceed, grow, and evolve. The challenge in this discussion is to look at what Jesus said was the greatest commandment, to love our God and to love our neighbor. We can do this by not looking only at the needs around us, but looking at the gifts we have and proceeding with a purpose and a mission. Look at the needs you see in your everyday life, the tasks you are nudged to and whispered to by God. Look at your gifts and try to find an answer alone or in community, secure in the knowledge that God has your back and will provide what you need. God had a tough mission for Mary. She was asked to defy cultural norms, go against religious law in an environment that was hostile to her and God's plan. She was visited by an angel and told that she would be pregnant and deliver the Messiah and God's own son. Yet she responded, based on her faith, a gift from God. God had a plan for Mary, a difficult and terrifying one. She was told amazing things, yet she answered, "Here I am, Lord." God has a plan for us, individually and collectively as a community in faith. He's asking us to act. How will we answer? Amen.
More time to dry them all. Steve mentioned about inclusiveness of God. God invites you, welcomes you, and God loves you. And the communion is a great example of God's invitation and inclusiveness. This is the body of Jesus Christ. And this is the blood of Jesus Christ shed for us. Let's pray. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and the people who join us online worship. Lord, we give you thanks for your invitation, your love, and your care. Thank you. And Lord, also bless these precious elements of the Holy Communion as we remember Jesus' unconditional love. Make these elements the body and blood of Jesus Christ so that as we take them, Lord, make us the body of Jesus Christ, redeemed by his blood. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Wow. I'm really impressed. I don't find any drop of juice. Maybe people know we have a new carpet. You know what? I'm happy to see you this morning. During the week, it's been tough taking care of my wife. I mean, from the airport, my wife and I, we were wearing a mask inside the car, and I put her in a bedroom, talked to her, I love you, I'm going to feed you well, but you do not come out of that room. It's been tough, but when I see you, I'm really happy. Why don't you look at each other? Why don't you look at each other? And speak to them. If you agree, I'm so happy to see you. Steve talked about inclusiveness of God. Yes. We love inclusiveness. We love to have people in our circle of love. Not because we want to be a better person, a good person, but because we learn that from God. God knows you. The God of the universe cares about you. And we find that joy. We find that joy. And we give thanks to God. This moment, I want to encourage you to count your blessing. Reasons to be grateful and give thanks to God. With all the gratitude for God has done in our lives, we give thanks to God and present ourselves, our time, talent, and resource to God. Amen.
Sacrifices and offerings you do not desire, O God, but the transformation of our hearts and minds. This we know as we await your revelation in the world. Fashion us and all that we offer this day into a living testimony of your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And our closing hymn is Spirit Song.
Oh, let the Son of God enfold you with His Spirit and His love. Let Him fill your heart and satisfy your soul. Oh, let Him
have the things that own you.
And His Spirit, like a dove, will descend upon your life and make you whole. Jesus, oh Jesus, come and fill your love. Jesus, oh Jesus, come and fill your lens. As you go into the Word, please know the love of God, the Creator. God knows your heart. God cares about you, and God listens to your prayers. So now, the grace of God, the Creator, and unconditional love of Jesus Christ, our risen Savior, and the power of the Holy Spirit go with you today, tomorrow, and more. Amen. like you, Jesus. Make me more like you, more like you, Jesus, more like you. Touch my lips with holy fire and make me more like you.